Easy Sports Talk Show with Ed Smith and Javon Adams. I am Javon Adams, and you can call me Jay or Jay Love. And with me is a man who not only played professional baseball, but he also played in the National Football League for that first Super Bowl bound team for the Atlanta Falcons. I'm talking about author, motivational speaker, Ed Smith. What is good, my brother?
Oh, just chilling, man, and getting into this offseason. Got a lot of stories, though, still. A lot of stuff going
on. Yeah. Indeed. So we're going to get into one storyline in a second. But before we get into that, man, I don't know if you saw last night. I got trying to get some running, more miles in during the week. But I saw the story about what game was that? I just had it up. It was a game with Texas, the hard check against Darian Williams, and then all of a sudden ends up to an ejection, and then fans throwing stuff on the court. With the stuff going on recently with the Caitlin Clark and with my man Filipowski from Duke, I mean, are fans a little bit more empowered I won't say that they've ever been, but are they lately seeing like they're feeling like they're more empowered to act a little crazy?
I do think so. The court storming and different things have been around forever, but I think with social media and the me now thing, like it's with the cameras, man. Like I'm watching these kids now, like running on the court for the court storming, and it's not running toward the athletes to like congratulate them. It's cameras up in their face.
Yeah.
You know, like streaming while they're running because it's all about them now. It's not about, you know, the camaraderie on the court and, hey, we just, you know, accomplished something. It's all about me with the camera in my hand, you know, filming everybody else storming, filming myself, trying to get something on TikTok or Instagram with my face on or whatever. And I think that's what's where the disconnect is. And, you know, with the things going in the stands and stuff like that, the fans, it seems like it's more about them now. And, yeah. I mean, that's just the society we live in with all this. I mean, everybody wants to do what we do as far as having a podcast or TikToking or Instagramming or whatever it is. And it's just gotten out of hand. And that's, I mean, for me, I mean, court storm has been around since the caveman days, right? And it's never been a problem up until now. Now it's like, oh my God, we got to protect the athletes. Well, it's been around forever and there's been no incidences for the most part. I mean, something here and there. When you're talking about the percentage of times that something bad happens compared to when nothing happens, when something happens, all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, we got to stop this. Well, it's like, come on. One or two instances can't dictate. But I will say, just as you point out, that it's become more hazardous because of the fans, and they won their entitlement and not just paying attention to what the heck they're doing. It just seems, like I said, it's all about them now.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because a lot of, and you got that groupthink that goes on too. If you think about it, if you're in a crowd and you don't like the call or you're upset that somebody tries to, that maybe is a hard foul against one of your players or whatever it is, and then all of a sudden everybody is all of the same mind and they want to throw stuff on the court or they want to rush the court when the game is over because you beat somebody. But it's a slippery slope because you get what you broadcast in a lot of ways. So think about this: we're not going to wade into these waters today. It would be a different time. But they, for the most part, they never showed Kaepernick. I mean, they never showed the national anthem on television until Kaepernick started kneeling. And then once he started kneeling, then they wanted to show it to make sure, is it somebody's going to kneel? Is somebody going to kneel? So you get what kind of you broadcast. If they had just made, if it was an article and they never said anything about, and they never showed the national anthem for a nationally televised audience, no matter if it was the 1 o'clock game or the 4 o'clock game, whatever it was, then it wouldn't have been the biggest deal in the world. And so that you made it a big deal because we'll be right back. But before we go, let's show the national anthem. And so you kind of get what you manufacture at the same. So when I say that, I can remember when I started to pay attention to UNLV. This is way back in the day, and you would see all those court stormings you know, when with the upsets and all this stuff, you would see that stuff all the time, and it was televised. So I can imagine how that just becomes a part of the culture. You know, what we're going to do, we're going to court storm because that's what we do. That's how we're going to get on ESPN. And now you mentioned social media. That's how we're going to get it on my IG or my TikTok or whatever social media platform that you're using.
Yeah, and then a lot of it comes to where we are in the news cycle, Jay. If we were still in football season, playoffs and stuff like that, some of these stories would be so minimal. But because we're at that block where there's absolutely nothing going on, we, meaning media, has to make something up to focus on. And now, you know, just perfect storm. Like I said, if some of this stuff happened back in December, November, I mean, it would be a blip on the radar in terms of how much it was covered because everybody would be wanting to jump right back to their Cowboys coverage or what happened last week in the NFL. So, you know, you have to take it all with a grain of salt sometime.
He is Ed Smith. I am Javon Adams. This is the Easy Sports Talk Show with Ed Smith and Javon Adams. Check the podcast. Let somebody know about what we have going on. So let's get into it. You mentioned in the offseason, the dead time, but there's still action going on in the NFL. So let's get to one of those stories. No matter what sport you're in, it seems like the dreaded, this is our guy, that's our coach, that's our insert player, you know, insert position here for whatever sport it is, seems almost like the kiss of death. And I say that because the Cardinals, just a couple of days ago, the Arizona Cardinals, they on their Twitter or on their X account, they posted pictures of montage pictures of Kyler Murray saying our franchise quarterback I'm paraphrasing, but and then came across an article because the combine is going on this week, and Jonathan Gannon, who's at the combine, he essentially said that this is our what you saw late last year is kind of where we evolved into and what we pick up where that essentially, like, that with more reps, with more time, that with having it, being able to participate in the offseason program, that the sky's the limit for Kyler Murray, and that he was under center much more than he's ever been in his career. So we got to give him credit for that. But that saying all these glowing things about Kyler Murray, and there's so much lying. Some people say subterfuge, but just lying that's going on right now. Who do you believe? What do you lean towards? Because the Cardinals could try to take a quarterback, or they could go and then take the best wide receiver on the board. So what do you think about when you see articles like that? What do you think about? What goes through your mind?
Well, just like when some of your friends, your people you know, like when you're in certain relationships, when you hear this type of glowing stuff, first question comes out of my mouth is, who are you trying to convince? Us or yourself? You know, it's one of those things where, hey, if we don't, I mean, we, unless you bring it up, we just assume Kyler's your guy. What else are you going to do, right? I mean, you're sitting in the four spot, I think it is. So unless you jump over a whole bunch of people, you're not going to get the one guy that I would say that they would probably make a move for. Remember when they had the number one spot for a little bit through the regular season, all speculation was, well, there's only one guy. If they're up there in that number one spot, Caleb Williams, yes. Because all the pundits, yes, I would make that move from the Cardinals. You know, but on and on and on and on and on. Well, Kyler comes back. He looks pretty good. I mean, you know, has a really good game against the Eagles, you know. Could be your franchise guy. The problem is you've moved out of the one spot all the way back to four, and you've got other teams in front of you that are probably hungrier than you are to get that young man. You know, the Bears obviously hold all the cards right now, you know, but they still got to do something with Justin Fields. Washington's right behind them at two, and they would give their left and right, you know what, to get him, you know, starting a new there. So you would have to move heaven and high water just to get the one to get him. So unless something like that happens, I'm not going to say you're stuck with Kyler, but yes, he's your man. And who are you trying to convince? Is it us or yourself? Hey, you know, I get the best girl in the world, man. You in the shower talking to yourself. You know, and then next thing you know, Facebook post, right? You got to let everybody know, this my boo. Like, and your friends are like, what's going on with them? You know what? All of a sudden he got to come. I never heard him talking like this before, you know. Yeah. But, you know, you got to come out and let everybody know, And, you know, we all know you're talking outside of your head, because if something happened where, you know, say somebody in front of you did something stupid and you had the opportunity, if it was in your mind all along, if there's any way we can get Caleb and move off Kyler, because there are some teams that would love to have Kyler. Yeah, he's got great talent. His biggest issue is not his athletic ability. It's what's going on between his head most of the time. Mm-hmm. So if you could figure that out, you know, you'd have dynamic quarterback. Now, not the perfect size, obviously. He has his flaws, but, you know, a lot of teams could do a lot worse than Kyler Murray. Problem is, Cardinals don't have any options in terms of getting rid of him. So what do? You better start building around him. You better go get that wide receiver or two out there, get him start building that offensive line around him. So, I mean, the problem with the Cardinals, Jay, is they don't just have a thing or two to fix, and it's partly because of their strategy. They stripped it down to the bone. So we didn't sign anybody in free agency. We got tier two and three guys for last year's roster, and we just let the draft, we did what we could, but when you're trying to figure it out through the draft alone, that takes years to build up, because now you've got to draft the right guys, but you got to give them time to mature into those roles and, you know, get into those third and fourth and fifth years where they're now all pro consideration and stuff like that. You got a bunch of young guys. If that's their strategy, you know, they are going to have to make a huge hit or two in free agency, get some edge rushers, get a corner, get a wide receiver or two or something like that, and then go get your one in the draft. I mean, we can run down the list. You still got to beat this offensive lineup. You got, secondary. I mean, so many things you have to correct, and rightfully so, because, you know, if this was your strategy, you did what you wanted to do. You got rid of all the junk. Now you're left with a totally stripped down vehicle with no wheels sitting in the driveway, and you got to start priming this thing. You're getting tired. You got to get the engine fixed. You got a lot of things to do to get this thing before it's road ready. And Kyler it's a pretty model, right? You got Kyler, but you got a whole lot of stuff to do to make this team even viable, just in the division, let alone in the conference and, you know, for Super Bowl consideration. So, yeah, of course, you know, Kyler's our guy. What else are we going to do?
He's Ed Smith. I'm Javon Adams. Let me ask you this question, throwing it out there. Does every NFL team want to win the Super Bowl?
Everybody wants to, but does everybody have the capability and that's a good question, Jay, because like I said, everybody wants to. Does everybody know that they are there and ready to do it? Probably 32 teams in the league, right?
Yeah.
You've got the top 10 or so. I would say 10 is probably generous. Let's say top 10 teams know that all the way down to a Miami, if everything works out right, we can run the table and we can get there. Then you got a few teams behind them, you know, 10 to 20 that are, hey, if a few things fall our way, but it might be a long shot, but we could probably, you know, work our way, and then we just got to get lucky. Got to need a little luck to get it. Then you got a third of the league, dog, that are just, we are so far away. Like the Cardinals. If you're going into next year thinking, hey, you know, this is a Super Bowl team, man, I'm like, what are you smoking? You got so many things to jump over to get to where, like, let's say a San Francisco is. Yeah. I mean, and that's why I said you got to figure out how to win your division first. I mean, you might be fourth in your own division, considering, it's got the Super Bowl defending losing team in there. Seattle's always running, you know, hot. You know, the Rams, you never know. They looked a lot
surprised
better.
Surprised last year. They surprised last season.
So you got to figure out how to win your division before you're thinking about a Super Bowl and just get into the playoffs. So you got to do it in tiers. And, you know, most teams are like, yeah, we'd like to say we're Super Bowl ready, but there's only a few teams that, you know, doggone well, they're going to be in a hunt. And, you know, injuries and stuff like that can derail anybody. But, you know, as far as the thought process, everybody wants to say it, but not everybody believes it, bro, because they know the reality. When we were inside of locker rooms, We knew where we stood as far as talent. I'll give you a quick one, Jay.
Yeah.
The year I went to the Super Bowl, we were 14-2. That was, golly, that was not seen by a whole lot of people, right? Mm-hmm. At the same time, we're looking at, we were in the division with the San Francisco 49ers at the time. We were in the NFC West. You had Jerry Rice, Steve Young, run down the list, you know, Terrell Owens before he was T.O., Garrison Hurst. I mean, you're looking over at that roster, and you're like, yeah, that's pretty stout right there. And to beat them, it's like, well, you know, we can compete, and then we'll see what happens from here. And, I mean, everybody knows what you have in your locker room. Sometimes it takes a little luck, ball bouncing your way, different things like that. But when we started that season, Coach Reeves was like, we got some goals. First goal is we want to win our division. We want to win all of our home games. So we started setting little goals, right? And we started clicking those off. But, I mean, at the start of that season, after going 7-9 the year before and knowing what we had in that locker room, if you went down the roster, 1-53, you might have had one or two guys that said, yeah, this is a Super Bowl team. But things worked out that year. And it might have been somewhat a fluke. 14-2 for a team that was 7-9 the year before. When does that ever happen? So everybody knows what's in between the walls in their locker rooms and what's going on.
So leave me with this. I mean, this might be something for even a deeper dive later. So knowing what we know about typical Super Bowl champions or typical, let's say, even conference championship game teams that get there, right? It's what? Offensive line, defensive line, quarterback. Some on the defensive side of the ball, you want to be able to make sure that you're able to cover your man. You want to have decent enough wide receivers. Do you need a premier wide receiver? How many times, other than you mentioned Jerry Rice, but that was a generation ago, right? How many times does the best wide receiver end up being on a conference championship team or on a Super Bowl team? On a division winning team.
Yeah. It doesn't always happen. I would say this. When you're talking about championship teams, it's like a good recipe, Jay. Okay. You're not going to have the best ingredients at every, like, you might look up, you might be down to the last bit of paprika in the cabinet. And you know, this recipe calls for paprika, but you got just enough to get in there, right? So what you got to do, you got to something like your quarterback, where you might have, man, I ain't never used this, slap your mama, but dang, you know, I've heard a whole bunch of good stuff about it. But you're out just low on the paprika, you salt and pepper, you got just enough of that. But then you got this secret sauce, the secret spice in the back that you've got. So it's all about taking the best of what you have. Like, and in some instances, you look at, like, San Fran, man, they had everything. They were fully stocked at everything except for the quarterback position.
Yeah.
You know, they were doing it at a
deficit. He could grow into it. Right now, he's,
But he's a, when you talk about what they have, and like, imagine if Mahomes was on that team. I mean, oh my God. I mean, that's like an all. That's like my son playing Madden, where he takes and raises other rosters. And I'm like, damn, it looks like Jefferson, but he's wearing a Rams uniform, but down the line.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like I said, it's a good, a great recipe, a great group of ingredients. Like I said, that's what it's all about. And, you know, like I said, every team is not going to have the best wide receiver or this or that, but they might have just enough at that position, you know, that's how it works out.
There we go. He's Ed Smith. I'm Javon Adams. We do this three times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. We also do Believe in the Arizona Cardinals. Let's knock that out on Friday. Knock that out Friday. Give it to you going into the weekend. And so you can go to ezsportstalk.com. That's ezsportstalk.com to stay connected with us. You'll find the podcast there. You can find the podcast wherever you find your podcast. Also, go and like the YouTube page. Go subscribe to the YouTube page. We do appreciate it at the Easy Sports Talk Show, at the Easy Sports Talk Show. And as we always like to say around this time, you can.